Greetings, everyone. This is Habits into Health. I'm your host, Michael Ann Conley, and the focus for this show is bringing you 21st century approaches to personal growth and habit change. I like to say that this includes letting the body lead so your mind doesn't have to. Habits into Health is about turning around those behaviors that are creating problems for yourself or for others. In this show, we share holistic perspectives to support you in the path to change. Today's segment is about what it means to bring the body forward. What I'd like to do before we talk about our topic is to practice by tuning into ourselves in an experiential way. Since I can't know what you're doing at this time, I'll offer a general invitation with some specific examples that may or may not apply to you. So take a moment to notice the rise and fall of your breath. You don't need to close your eyes, so you can be attentive to the rise and fall of your breath even if you're driving a vehicle right now or sitting in a public place or simply walking about in your home or office. Just be available to receive the rise and fall of your breath. Inhale and exhale without strain or forcing anything to be different. If you notice that your attention drifts away, you can just gently bring yourself back to the rise and fall of your breath. You can notice how this breathing impacts you. There is no goal here about feeling better or getting somewhere. The goal is in the action itself, attending to what is. As you continue, you may notice sensations that rise to your attention as if they were new. Most likely, they've been there all along, waiting for you to notice. In this moment, you might notice any movement associated with the rise and fall of your breath, not just in your chest or your belly, but in other areas as well. If you're sitting, for instance, you might feel the movement of your breath in your back as it meets the chair or the couch that you're sitting on. Let yourself receive this movement. If you're walking, that activity may or may not dim your awareness of noticing subtler movement. So, you could consider pausing in your walking for a moment, or two, or five. Or you might just keep your pace and become aware of movements in your neck, in your throat, or your head, movement that's linked to the rise and fall of your breath. Then again, you may begin to recognize the rise and fall of your breath in your lower back, or in your pelvis, or even in your legs. No matter what you're doing right now, you can just let yourself become aware of where in you, geographically, you feel your breath, not by imagining it, by actually being with it in a very real and practical way. You might also notice what's happening with your sense of space. Inside the barrel of the ribs, around the vital organs of your upper trunk, as it widens on the inhale and steps towards your core on the exhale as your lungs deflate. You may feel tension or a loosening of tension as you do this. Or perhaps you notice a quality of moisture or dryness. Again, these are also byproducts, not the goal itself. The goal in working through the body is to educate yourself about your own functioning, which is the first step in finding a body-oriented way to behavior change. You're listening to Habits into Health, and this is your host, Michael Ann Conley. And today, what we're talking about is insight and experience. Our focus is on holistic and somatic ways of creating change in ourselves with satisfaction and success. You can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. Let's turn to today's topic. It turns out that insight, while interesting, isn't enough when it comes to creating behavior change. It also turns out that experience is not enough either. Funny thing about that. Over the years, I've had numerous conversations with massage practitioners or chiropractors about a common occurrence for them. And it goes like this. We seek their assistance, usually for pain relief. And because there's something these professionals know how to do to adjust how we're holding ourselves, we often experience great relief. But then, maybe a day or two, or a week, or even a month later, somehow we've slipped back into the pain that led us to seeking help in the first place. Maybe you can relate, because I know I can. I went through a tough period a while ago with a shoulder injury, and I needed outside help. I was really glad to have it. Fortunately, I got some great assistance from some terrific practitioners. I continue to seek assistance, but these days not as often, because I am more able to sustain the healing for myself more often than not. It sure is great to experience that pain relief from a massage or taking a medication or talking things over with a friend or a therapist. But what does it take to bring that momentary relief into something that lasts? There's a book by Richard Strozzi Heckler that gave me some clues. In The Anatomy of Change, Heckler divides body work into three areas. The first he calls working on the body. Then there is working with the body, and last, working through the body. What each of these look like kind of depends on the approach of the practitioner. But for simplicity's sake, here's a description in my own words. When you go to a health practitioner and they do something to you that gives you relief, you've mainly been a recipient. And in this case, they were working on your body. Now, a lot of the time, massage therapy fits into this category, and a lot of chiropractic work fits in this category. They do, you receive. There are times when working on the body is the best course of action, and the experience of relief can signal you about possibilities, at least that relief is possible. I know that that was true for me when I had my shoulder injury and the shoulder became frozen. And at that time, I really needed to have the experience of the possibility that my shoulder could become unfrozen. And it was very, very helpful to have some practitioners who worked on the body with me. If, on the other hand, you seek out a practitioner who engages with you in a more active way, where you are offering feedback in the moment and he or she is adjusting their work based on what you're communicating, this is more like working with the body. There's more of an active partnership between yourself and the practitioner, even though they are still doing and you are still receiving. I had an experience many years ago with Rolfing, which is also called structural integration, which was a great example of how a practitioner works with the body. Working on the body and with the body each offer relief and possibility. But unless you actively participate in creating that relief, you don't know how you got from A to Z. You won't know how to replicate it. And that's one reason why so much of the time we end up back at the chiropractor's office in a week or a month. Wouldn't it be great if there were a way to approach this that gave you more power to influence yourself and therefore your life? Well, there is. Working through the body offers this other degree of difference, because it is here that you are the one in charge, and the practitioner is a guide or an educator. The practitioner helps you get there, but when you work through the body, you are teaching yourself, step by step, how to create your own possibilities. So just now, let's go back to being with the rise and fall of your breath. No matter where you are or what you're doing, you can simply be available to receive the rise and fall of your breath. You can inhale. There you go, inhale with me, and you can exhale. No strain or forcing anything to be any different. There is no goal here, really, about feeling better or getting somewhere. The goal is in the action itself. Attending to what you're doing is an action, and it's a start in participating in your own changes. Now, as you continue this, you may notice sensations that rise to your attention, just like they were new. And as I said before, most likely they've been there all along, simply waiting for you to notice. Now you can continue to breathe as I talk and just be attentive to your breath. Perhaps you've heard of the metaphor of fish swimming in water. I can't remember where I first heard about it, but here's my best attempt at explaining. Fish swim in water. We swim in air. No doubt, fish give no more consideration to the water in which they swim than we do the air that we breathe. In fact, the air we breathe is not just outside us, it's inside us as well. We are in a continual interchange between the air that is outside us and the air that is circulating into our lungs, bringing in a chemical feast. So just notice that as you inhale, you're bringing in a chemical feast that travels through your blood to every single cell in you. And then your cells excrete, and our blood carries it out from our cells back to the lungs. Now take an exhale. And as you exhale, you are giving back a chemical mix that you don't need to keep, but that other life forms do. So unless you have a medical condition, like, say, asthma or emphysema, or lung cancer, where just the act of breathing is a challenge, at least from time to time, or unless you're up so high on a mountain range where the air is thin. I recently talked with some friends who spent some time in the Andes, and they described what it was like to be at 9,000, 10,000, even 14,000 feet high, and how different the air was and how that affected them in their breathing experience. So high up a mountain where the air is thin, or so deep in the sea, where even with a tank of water on your back, if you rise too quickly, it will make you sick at the very least, or potentially it could kill you. But in our ordinary everyday experience, for most of us, most of the time, we hardly give a thought to breathing. And in fact, in order to breathe, we don't have to think at all. Breathing is one of those human behaviors that happens involuntarily. And yet we also can voluntarily adjust our breathing. We can put our attention on it. Something that is very common in activities that demand an investment in breathing, like strenuous exercise. In this Habits into Health show, what I'm trying to do is set a frame for a conversation you can have with yourself, and also offer an experiential component to guide you, so that you can gain an experience of working through the body, starting by noticing what is. Yes, we'll use our cognitive abilities with emphasis on collecting experience and feeding it back rather than on running the show. And of course, here in a podcast, it's a little bit different. If we were in my office right now together, I'd be able to see how you're engaging in the exercise, and I would adapt the rhythm of how I speak to what it is that I'm seeing. And that's pretty hard to replicate in a podcast. But we'll do our best. And that's why I'll offer general invitations with some specific suggestions that in some cases will apply to you, in some cases they won't. In this show, we'll support experiential approaches to building self-contact, and from there, self-management, because thinking or insight isn't enough to create change. Habits into Health is a unique perspective that brings the body to the foreground. When you attend to your breathing, just like we did today, with a level of intention, even if all you're starting with is noticing, you have begun the process of working through the body. You are not a passive recipient of someone else doing something to you. You're not exchanging information with me right now about your experience. But in some way, I hope that you're allowing me to be a guide or facilitator so that you can do this for yourself. In other segments of Habits into Health, I'll expand on this perspective and other ways to support you in creating a plan that works for you in creating your change of habit. You are always welcome to bring your questions and comments to habitsintohealth.com. That's my website. I also have articles and resources that might be very helpful for you, or interesting in the least. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits into Health. Let's turn our old habits around into healthy possibilities for the future.